You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 75, another mini podcast on the liturgical calendar, Trinity Sunday, and a little detail about St. Thomas Becket. Howdy, and thank you for tuning into The Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to learn daily habits and enough theology to take their faith to the next level. And we're going to talk this week about the Holy Trinity, in particular, some of the details about the liturgical celebration and some historical details as well. Well, welcome back to the show. This is going to be another mini podcast. I'm exploring this new kind of podcasting. Don't worry, I'm still going to do the long featured ones, but occasionally I get ideas for blog posts, and usually I just write the blog post over at taylormarshall.com. Lately, I've been sort of recording these thoughts and these little historical and theological and philosophical ideas, and that's what we have here today, is another one of these mini podcasts. Starting this week, just a bit of announcement here, we will begin to release the Book of Revelation commentary course that I'll be doing. We're going to go through every single chapter of the Book of Revelation and look at it from a Catholic point of view. We're going to look at preterism, which is an interpretation of the Book of Revelation as having been a past event, not necessarily a future event, historical interpretations, and also futurist interpretations, all from, or rather through, a Catholic lens. So if you have a lot of questions, concerns, fears about the apocalypse and the Book of Revelation, you want to know about the beasts and the Whore of Babylon and the seven churches and the seven trumpets and the dragon and the New Jerusalem and all of these things, make sure you're subscribed to this podcast, because beginning this next week, we will begin to release the Catholic-style Book of Revelation audio course here on the Taylor Marshall Show podcast. So subscribe over to iTunes. You can also subscribe through Android devices. We begin to make that available as well. Just go to taylormarshall.com / or just click on weekly podcast and you can learn how to do it there. I'm really excited about it. I've begun recording these Book of Revelation podcasts already, and I'm telling you, they're really good. This is really interesting material, and it's definitely reminding me of a lot of things that I've learned in the past and things that I'm learning as I put together these podcasts on Revelation, stuff from the Church Fathers, stuff from the Old Testament. It's really, really rich. Well, this coming Sunday, we're celebrating the Feast of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity. It's the Sunday after Pentecost, which is appropriate because Pentecost celebrates the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the church and the end of the Easter season. But this manifestation of the Holy Spirit as tongues of fire, as we talked about in last week's podcast, the tongues of fire and how it relates to, you know, the old pre-Vatican II rite of blessing and consecrating the tongues of the newly baptized, and how that relates both to the Eucharist and towards using our tongues to bring about evangelism and the gospel, which we'll see again in this week in Trinity. But the Feast of the Holy Trinity is, relatively speaking, a new feast. It actually came around officially in the 1300s. So even after the time of St. Francis, St. Dominic, and St. Thomas Aquinas. And it was authorized by Pope John the 22nd. It became especially popular in England. And in England, Sundays were counted after Trinity. So it would be like the first Sunday after Trinity, the second Sunday after Trinity, the third Sunday after Trinity, etc. This was not the case in the Roman Rite, in the Roman liturgy. Up until 1969, the Sundays were counted after Pentecost. So it would be like the first Sunday after Pentecost, second Sunday after Pentecost, and so on. But 1969, that was changed. They began to count the Sundays of what they call, quote-unquote, ordinary time after the Sundays of Trinity. But in England, and with the Sarum Missal, they were counted after Trinity Sunday. And this is probably because of a great saint of England, Saint Thomas Becket. Now, you know, if you've been with me long here, you know that I love, capital L love, Saint Thomas Becket. You'll remember that my blog at taylormarshall.com from about the year 2000, I'm going to guess here, I think 2003, when blogging was brand new. No, it was a little bit after that, all the way until about 2013, so almost 10 years, my blog went by the title Canterbury Tales. It was Canterbury Tales of Taylor Marshall. And I named it Canterbury Tales because previously I had been an Anglican priest, and Canterbury is the mother see or the metropolitan see of all world Anglicanism. But I'd become a Catholic, and so I wanted a title that was one of pilgrimage, because I had moved from Anglicanism into Catholicism, and Canterbury Tales by Chaucer is the story of pilgrims as they move across England to the shrine of St. Thomas Becket there in Canterbury. Becket's relics, as you know, were kept in Canterbury, and Thomas Becket died a great martyr in defense of the papacy, in defense of the Roman Church. And so I saw my own journey from Anglicanism across England to the shrine there in Canterbury as a reverence or a defense of the papacy in my own life and of the Roman Church. And so the blog was called Canterbury Tales. And then around 2013, a lot of people, the blog was getting very big and the podcast had started, and there's just a lot of momentum in my own life. And I realized, and I was getting questions pretty frequently from people saying, hey, you're a Catholic, you're doing Catholic philosophy, Catholic theology, you're on TV, you're on radio, doing all this Catholic stuff. Why is your blog called Canterbury Tales? Canterbury is Anglican. And so they didn't really get the connection there. So I decided, well, I'm just going to get rid of Canterbury Tales as the title of the blog and just have it Taylor Marshall, because that's basically how people were coming to know me. But St. Thomas Becket, of course, is the inspiration for Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. And Joy and I have a son, Becket. We've named him Becket after St. Thomas Becket. And hello, Becket, if you're listening. He's a beautiful, blonde little boy. I love him to death. Very sweet, sweet young man. And Thomas Becket was a hero for the Roman Church, for the papacy. As you know, his friend, the king, basically had him appointed so that the church would do whatever the king of England wanted. Kind of like a Henry VIII scenario, but this is way earlier. And once he was consecrated Archbishop of Canterbury, he began to serve the Pope in Rome and not his friend, the king. And of course, the king was infuriated by this, and he said, who will rid me of this troublesome priest? And some knights, in fact, did break into Canterbury and whack St. Thomas Becket on the head and killed him right there at the altar. Some of the accounts, it's very gory, talk about how they split open his head and with their feet began to smash and spread around his brain, began to smash his brain upon the ground. So violent. And so I like St. Thomas Becket because in my own life, I spent much time and energy as a Christian, and sometimes saying things against Catholicism, and then becoming a Catholic, I wanted to find a good patron who was not only English, but also a defender of the Pope and a defender of the Holy See. Now, this all relates back to Holy Trinity Sunday, because St. Thomas Becket was consecrated as a bishop on the feast day of Holy Trinity. And I think this year was 1162. So St. Thomas Becket, who is a great patron, and during this time and before the Reformation, Thomas Becket is a grade A saint in England. They love St. George. They love, of course, St. Thomas Becket. The big pilgrimage shrine is at Canterbury because of Becket. And I suppose because he was consecrated on this day, it became a very important feast for England and for the English patrimony. And I think especially, you know, there's a group in the Catholic Church that was approved by Pope Benedict XVI, Anglican Youth Catholics. These are Catholics who were formerly Anglican like myself who've come into the church with their parishes and with their clergy. And there's a big debate over the Anglican use, whether it's legitimate, whether it should be engrafted into the Roman Rite, whether it should be separate, whether it should have its own hierarchy, etc. So the Anglican use is basically a personal prelature, has its own prelate, a Monsignor who's able to wear the mitre even though he's not a bishop. And it goes on to this day, but part of the debate about the Anglican use, and I usually try to stay clear of it, people always ask my opinion because they know I used to be an Anglican and now I'm a Catholic layman. I try to stay clear of it, but the big debate surrounding the Anglican use is really on, is there a such thing as a English Anglican patrimony? That is a tradition related to the fatherland of England. And if there is, it should be preserved in the Anglican use. And if there's not, it should just be folded back into the Roman Rite. And I think this tradition here about Holy Trinity, the Feast of the Holy Trinity and its importance in the English tradition, for those who want to continue to pursue what could be an English patrimony, I think this is one of the things that's been missed by those coming from Anglicanism into the Catholic Church, and that is the importance of Trinity Sunday in English history, and its place especially in the Sarum Missal. So I think this is something that we could really spend some time on. I don't want to get into it too much. I usually try to avoid all Anglican use debates as much as I can. I want to spend the rest of the time today, because this is a mini podcast, looking at the gospel lesson for Holy Trinity Sunday, because there's actually an error in the translation issued by the USCCB. I don't think it's really their fault. This error occurs in most translations of Matthew 28, and we're going to look at that error today. It's from Matthew 28, 16, verses 16 through 20, and this is the gospel lesson that's read at Mass on Holy Trinity Sunday, and I'll read the whole thing. Quote, "The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, 'All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, until the end of the age.'" End quote. Okay, so where's the error? Where is the mistake here? Well, you know, this is the translation that's used by the USCCB on their website, and you know, it's not a big deal. This is not like, you know, jumping into heresy or anything like that. In fact, you know, the Ignatius Study Bible makes the same translation error. Almost all Protestant Bible translations as well make the same error, and it's really this one verb at the beginning of verse 19, where it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." The original Greek there is not an imperative command, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Rather, it's a participle. The original Greek there is a participle, so it should read like this: "Going, therefore, make disciples of all nations." So the idea here is a participle. It's something that you're already doing. And I think a little bit of a confusion can wedge itself in here, because we can think, well, Christ is giving this great commission at the end of Matthew to the apostles, telling them, go out and make disciples. And I think it's a little bit more challenging for us when we think of it as going, therefore, make disciples. Because going implies that you're already going around and you might as well be making disciples while you're doing it. That's the command. So the command here is not really to go. So a lot of us will think, well, I'm not going to go out to tribes in Africa or Micronesia or Asia or inland China. That's not for me. I don't need to go and be a missionary to be commissioned by Jesus like an apostle. Well, actually, the verse here is a little bit more closer to home. Going, therefore, make disciples of all nations. So wherever you, if you're listening to this podcast, wherever you are going, Therefore, you should be making disciples. So are you going to the supermarket? Somehow, your activity, the way you deal with other people, the checkout person, people in the parking lot, people giving you a shopping cart, somehow that should bring about conversion. Are you going to the doctor's office? However you work and treat those people, that should somehow bring about a renovation of all things for Christ. So the imperative here is making disciples. It's not necessarily the going, like you need to get on an airplane or a boat and go to some exotic location to people. No, wherever you are going, you need to make disciples. I think this is a great reflection for myself, for you, as we celebrate the mystery of the Holy Trinity, and also in the wake of Pentecost. Wherever we are going, we are to share the divine life of God. The divine life of God, sacramental grace, habitual grace, it's the life of the Holy Trinity. And what we are called to do, and the reason that God created us in the first place, is so that we would share in His divine life, in the life that is shared between the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, the Son is the Logos. He is the Word of the Father. And the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. Even more so, the Holy Spirit is the breath of the Father and the Son. He is the breath of God, and God breathes on us, and that is the Holy Spirit. That's what we experience at Pentecost. That's what we experience sacramentally through the sacrament of confirmation. And therefore, we are supposed to use our own lives, our own tongues, our own breath to share the life of God, to share the love of God, which is another way of saying to share the grace of God. So whenever we are sharing love, whenever we are sharing grace, we are sharing the mystery of the Holy Trinity. So to read the verse one more time, and this time I'm going to read it correctly with the going participle there in Greek, it goes like this. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshiped him, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Going, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." So while you are out there going about your life, make disciples. Begin to teach people all that Christ has taught us, both by word and example. And remember, until next time, Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. All right, brothers and sisters, please don't forget next week, the book of Revelation begins. We'll start with chapter 1 of the Apocalypse, seen by St. John. God bless.
This podcast was brought to you by the new St. Thomas Institute. Discover online Catholic classes and earn your certificate in Catholic theology at the new St. Thomas Institute. To register for online Catholic classes, please visit newstthomas.com. That's newstthomas.com.